Okay, this is not written to everyone. This is written to those, look at chapter 1, how this begins. This is written to those, in verse 2, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who, whom God is their Father, born of God, and who are in Christ. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, those that are arisen with Christ, that is, regenerated, given life. And verse 3 says, those that are dead, crucified with Christ. And they have this new man. Their life is, it's hid, but he's there, this new man that is created in the image of Christ. Verse 4, those who Christ is their life. They were dead, and now they're alive. That's who he's writing to, okay? He's not writing to unregenerate, lost people and telling them, mortify your memory. He's talking about new creatures. All right? And so that's what he says in verse 5. Mortify your members. Lust of your flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Listen to Simon Peter. And he's going to continue this. We looked at this last Sunday. But he's going to continue this in the rest of the chapter. But listen to Simon Peter, his exhortation, and in every epistle, all the apostles. Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. War against having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. There's a war going on in God's people. It's between two men, an old man and a new man. If there's no war, there's no new creature. There was a time when I didn't struggle with sin. I loved every minute of it. I didn't mean to laugh about that. I didn't. That's what Paul said in Romans 6. You had pleasure in those things, but not now. I mean, it's still temptation, but now you want to be done with it. That's the new man. New man. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 3, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Over and over through the scriptures, it says this, particularly the epistles, he says, let no man deceive you. I mean, God's going to destroy this world because of sin. Sinners, it talks about, should not stand in judgment. Not sinners saved by grace. They're no longer sinners. But he said over in the Revelation, he said, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He said, such were some of you, but you washed by the blood of Christ, by the word of God. That's what God's word does. It washes us from this filth. And that's what we're doing here. So verse 7, it says, you walked at some time, you walked in them, you lived in them, lived for them, lived in them. Not now. Not now. How can we, Paul wrote, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? No, God's people want to be done with that old man. They want it done with him. So verse 7, now this is, we're going to look at putting off the old and putting on the new. He carries this on throughout this chapter. Put off, verse 8. So put off all these. Put off. Have you ever been put off by somebody? You call them and they won't answer you. You text them and they won't answer you. And you know they got caller ID. And they won't answer you. That's what's bad about caller ID. You need to take it off your phone so you can tell everybody, I don't have it. And I called you and you didn't answer me. That's put off. I don't want anything to do with you. Leave me alone. Don't call on me. Put off the old man. Don't feed him. Don't. Romans says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That'd be a good memory verse for Monday morning with it. I've already got another one in mind. Psalm 119:133. But put all, we all know what that means. Don't make provisions for him. You're feeding him. You want him weaker. You want the new man stronger. A new man. You want the old man weak. Paul said this in Romans 13. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. That's what he said. So do that with the old man. Put him off. Put him off. Verses 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. All men are liars. That's what David said. I said in my haste, all men are liars. That describes the people of this world, doesn't it? Don't think a thing about lying. That's how they get by. Just telling lies. God, we want truth, don't we? We want the truth, believe the truth. And I want to be a truthful person. Put him up. Verse 10. You put on the new man. The new man is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The knowledge. The mind of Christ. Didn't Paul say in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you. Here he says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let this mind be in you. This new man is renewed in knowledge. The world, natural man, natural people of the world don't have good sense. They have mind, their minds are void of judgment, Scripture said. Reprobate unto every good work. Past feeling, Paul wrote. Understanding darkened. How darkened is man's understanding? He calls good evil and evil good. And religion's worse. Religion's got man being a god and God being like a man. That God can't do anything unless man exerts his sovereign will. That's how the understanding is turned backward. Man's, his mind is sick. But by God's grace, God's people, born of God, given the mind of Christ, they think clearly. They think right thoughts of God, of man, the world. See the world for what it is. Evil. Evil. Now, Christ is the light. And God's word is the light. And like that window in the ark, there was only one end window. If you wanted to see the world, go up to that window in that ark and look out. What would you see? A flood of the ungodly. A world perishing, destroying, filth, mud. Imagine how, what all mud that water stirred up and everything. A world of corruption. That's what you see when your mind's made clear. And what you want then is out. I want out of the muck and the mire and the slime pits. Please, Lord, get me off this dung heap to set among princes. Take us out of here. But preacher, you said all things are beautiful. Yes, yes they are. The Lord, I didn't say that. The Lord Ecclesiastes did. But, and he's given us all things richly to enjoy, but man corrupts these things. They become evil when man lusts for them and thinks about these things and lives for these things and forgets God. That makes them evil. So, verse 10 now. In Christ, there's no Greek or Jew. Aren't you glad that those salvations of the Jews, yet he saves Greeks? The Jews rejected the gospel, you know. And so Paul said, okay, I'm going to the Gentiles. Oh, thank God. That circumcision is not, salvation is not by flesh or works, but by God, by Christ crucified. Aren't you glad? Barbarian, that's us. That's what the Jews called us. Barbarians, Scythian, bond free. I told you one time about Dan Parks. I love telling the story. And when his son, when he was, went down to the islands, and his son D, Daniel, was just a babe. And they had to treat him at the hospital for something. And they said, they asked, what's his religion? What's your son's religion? He said, he doesn't have religion. He's 6 months old. They said, we got to put something down here. What's his religion? So Dan said, okay, heathen. He's a heathen. Put it down there. That's a truthful man, isn't it? My son, until God makes him a new creature in Christ, is a heathen. Lost. I'm praying that he's one of God's elect and you'll make him a child of God. Barbarian. We're all a bunch of barbarians. Scythian. Bond. No free. Christ is all in all. Don't you love that? Christ is all. All our hope. All our, this is written to those to whom Christ is all. In all. Now you know he's all our wisdom, all our righteousness, all our sanctification. Don't you know that? By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He said, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified. You know that. I preach that so clearly. And it's the last time I'm going to say this. I'm not preaching good works for salvation. I'm not preaching merit, good works for merit, for acceptance with God. No, sir. We're accepted in the beloved. Good works don't save us. But salvation is unto good works. I said that last Sunday, and we shouldn't have to. I'm not going to apologize for God's word, and I'm not going to try to explain everything to everybody. I'm just going to preach it like he wrote it, like our Father says to us. You know, he doesn't make us a son. Say, son, do this, do that. Don't do that, son. That doesn't make us a son. Whether we do it or don't do it. Doesn't. But he's a father. He says. You don't tell other people's children things, do you? You don't chase at other people's children, do you? John, you didn't go next door, and as much as you'd like to handle other people's children, you didn't do that, did you? But you did yours, didn't you? You took a rod to your children. And he said, no, stop that. And you know what he's telling us here? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Act like Jesus Christ. Now, what's wrong with that? David said it. Here's our salvation. He said, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Whose? His. Clothed in his righteousness. We know that, don't we? Oh, yes, we thank God. All ours are filthy rags. David said, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. This prodigal son, he brought him home, and the father said, bring the best robe. He didn't ask me to put it on. He said, put it on him. Put the ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. That prodigal did nothing. He stood there. And while the father said, put it on him. That's when the gospel comes in power, isn't it? Where was I? I'd like to stay there a while longer. That's my story. Do you understand? We're not talking about works. Paul's not preaching, teaching works for salvation, but because of it. He's created a people in Christ Jesus unto good work. Listen to Titus. Let me just read this to you. It says, don't you love Titus? Love it. He begins by saying the truth is after godliness. First verse. Truth. The truth is after godliness. What's that mean? Making a people that were ungodly, godly. A people that had nothing to do with God. Now he's all. He's your father. Then chapter 3 says, we once time were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, justified by his grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Listen, doesn't stop there. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Peter said he's created a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good work. The worse this world gets, the more peculiar God's people go to bed. You believe what? You believe in modesty? Seriously? Abstinence from, you know, premarital sex? Are you kidding me? Are you a dinosaur? When this world just keeps getting worse and worse, God's people are going to be so peculiar. And that's what we are. We're not of this world. Don't think like it. Don't think like it. Our God, our Father is holy. And our teacher is the Holy Spirit. And he says, be ye holy. I'm holy. Didn't it? Oh, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. I'm so tired of this old man. Oh, aren't you? All right. Verse 12 says, put on, therefore. Put on. As the elect of God. Put on. Put on. It's not like put on a happy face. Not fake it, you know. Fake it, fake it, fake it. Fake it, put on. Although, it might not be a bad thing. If you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, don't show it. But put on, meaning act like the Lord. Verse 12, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, put on bowels of mercy, inner feelings toward others, bowels of mercy, inward feelings for others. Let's quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's quit thinking about ourselves. The first thing our Lord said to his disciples, he that cometh after me, let him what? First thing, deny himself. We come into this world thinking it's all about us, our children. That's what we have to kill in our children. This ain't about you. You're one of a zillion others. It ain't about you. And this kingdom of God's not about me. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about his people. It's about his family. We're members of the body, and our one purpose is to hold up the head. Not, well, look at me. I'm a vital member. I'm a little toenail. Yeah. Seriously, it ain't about me. Let me done with. Oh, I got my feelings hurt. Well, shoot. Man, I ain't happy. Well, maybe God's not happy with you. Be done with that. Our Lord denied himself, didn't he? He gave himself. For who? A bunch of selfish people. Inward feelings for others. It's a sad fact that we don't really feel for others unless we go through the same thing. Isn't it sad? So sad. My granddaughter just broke her ankle. And I went through that, and I know what it feels like. And oh, I feel so sorry for her. But I remember when Lauren Elizabeth fell out of a tree and broke both her arms. You remember that, Lauren? Oh my, dear. Both arms in a cast from her shoulder down. She couldn't even feed herself. Oh man. And I remember feeling sorry for you, but not like I should have. That'd been my granddaughter. Oh, man. By the way, old Joseph, she got her cast off, and Joseph was wrestling with her later. She said, stop it, Joseph, I got bad bones. Oh, I love that story. Oh, we ought to think on things of others. Inward bowels of mercy. Our Lord full of mercy. He's even merciful to the unmerciful, unjust. What's wrong with us? Put on as elect of God kindness. Love is kind. That old man is mean, isn't he? He's mean. Why? He's out for himself. If you don't serve him or make him happy, he's going to come down on you. That man needs a good slap in the face from God's word. Kindness, humility, humbleness of mind. Verse 12, humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering, humility, humility, humility. The world is heady and high-minded, proud. God's people are humble. Paul wrote in Romans 12, let no man think too highly of himself, but think as we ought to think. What should we think of ourselves? That we're a bunch of zeros. Nothing. Right? We're all a bunch of nothings, a bunch of nobody. Religion, you know, get people in. This is a church where everybody's somebody. God's church is a place where everybody's a nobody. Where Christ is all and everything. That's what he came to say, a bunch of nobody. You see your calling, don't you, brother? How many, not many wise men at the place, not many mighty, not many noble have called. God hath chosen the nothings. To nobodies, from nowhere. God doesn't need us. It's for the poor and needy. We need him. That's the mind of God's people. We're nothing. He's all. Meekness. What's meekness? That means humble submission to whatever comes our way. And if we're humble, we will. We'll realize that whatever comes our way is not what I deserve. He hath not dealt with me according. I'm slapping my thigh. You remember that's what old Ephraim does, doesn't it, Kelly? When he realizes what the Lord's done, he slaps his thigh like what? And he'll loathe himself and think, how could I have ever gotten upset about anything when it's all mercy? I should have been mad at myself all these years. Instead of mad at God and mad at everybody else. Meekness. Long suffering. The word long suffering means. And you know, I'm getting all excited, but I'm really aiming this at me. Is it coming across that way? I need that. I'm not preaching to this to you because you really need it. I need it. I know it. Well, I'm hollering at myself. Self? It says in verse 12, long suffering. You know what that means? It means putting up with one another. Verse 13, forbearing one another, putting up with. That's what it means. James said, in many things we offend all. We all offend one another, somehow, somewhat. We have, we do, and we shall. We're different families, and each of us thinks that we got it right and everybody else is strange. That my family, you know, the Andersons, you know, the Mayhem, they're a bunch of weirdos. They don't do it like we did. Putting up with. What does the Lord put up with in us? What does he put up with us in us? Everything. Everything. We're so much unlike his son. But he puts up with it. Long suffering. Simon Peter said this. You need to take an account. That the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Amen. One time he said, how long must I suffer with you? How long will I put up with you? How long did it? Having loved his own, he loved it to the end. You put up with your own, don't you? You put up with your family. you put up with those things in your spouse or your children that you don't like. There's things about others that we don't like. Face it. What is it about you that's unlikable? Anything? But in our own, those we love, those that are dear to us, we put up with it, don't we? Hoping we can change them. And then after you're married 40-some years, can't do it. It ain't going to change. So what are you going to do? Well, you're just going to change what you think. Maybe. Be more merciful like I know. Grow in grace. Because he puts up with us till the day we die. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. Forgive. And that means forget, doesn't it? That means forget. You haven't forgiven. You haven't forgotten. Like that, remember that burn note? Some of you, I asked if you listened to that message by my dad. One lady said 5 times. Well, have you learned to really forgive? Well, then listen 5 more. We need this, don't we? Here's the motive. Here's the reason. If any have a quarrel against any quarrel, any problem, anything against any, as Christ forgave you, so do you. We will never do anything to one another as like we've done to our Lord. Even now. So he says, above all things, and I was hoping to start with verse 18 on wives and husbands and children. But here it is, above all things, put on love, charity. It's a bond of maturity, or perfectness, or Christ-likeness, the bond, love. Love. Put on love. Provoke one another to love. We provoke one another in many ways. Well, he says, provoke them to love you. We do enough to make them mad at us, but do something to make them love you. Put on love, fervent love, active love, serve, love that serves. It's a bond of maturity, of Christ-likeness. Above all things, put on, now by the faith, hope, and love. What's the greatest? Man says, I believe. Do you? James said, do you? Show me. Here's love. And Christ showed us it. Faith, hope, the greatest of these is love. Paul said, do I have all faith, remove mountain, don't have love? Yeah, nothing. Understand all mysteries and doctrine, have not love, you're nothing. Nobody. It means nothing. Faith, hope, and love. Love. For Christ. John wrote a whole book about it, didn't he? If you don't love your brother, how can you love God you haven't seen? It can't be. Love is a bond of perfectness. Love is maturity. Here's love. You remember in Hosea, the story of Hosea and Gomer? Yeah. Anybody want to hear that preached on? I preached on it last year. Have you forgotten? Yeah, I have. But here it is. He said, go love a woman of whoredom who's given everybody and everything credit for what I'm doing for her. Go love that woman. And after the manner of God's love for his people, you go love her. Marry her. And do everything for her. Buy her. She sold herself to sin. You go purchase her with a steep price. His own precious blood. Now, what's she going to do? Be faithful the rest of the time? Oh. No, but he is. Now, that's the motive. That's love. Isn't that love? That's real love. Love never fail. Never fail. never failed. Perfect love. I want that kind of love. I'm sure thankful he has it. Aren't you? I'm sure thankful my salvation not dependent on my love for him. Aren't you? His love for me. Aren't you glad? Well, I want to love like that though. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. It's the only way to be. Okay.